We move now from the third commandment to the fourth commandment. Fourth commandment is as follows, question number 57. Which is the fourth commandment? The fourth commandment is, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. 58. What is required in the fourth commandment? The fourth commandment requires the keeping holy to God such set times as he has appointed in his word expressly, one whole day in seven, to be a holy Sabbath to himself. So we come to this fourth commandment, and the explanation given in the first of these several questions, in fact, there are five questions in connection, 58, 59, 60, 61, and 62. What is required in the fourth commandment? It requires keeping holy to God such set times as he has appointed in his word, expressly one whole day in seven. So let's think about the implication of that. The commandment says that you have 6 days to work, and you have 1 day that is set aside. 6 days to work. You have 6 days to get everything done that you need to get done in order to live life. The Bible is a very practical book. It recognizes that survival, that life, occupies most of our time. And so we have to sleep. We have to eat. We got to prepare the food that we're going to eat. We have matters of hygiene and grooming. We have work. And in most ages of history, mere subsistence was difficult for nearly everybody. These were scratch farmers who were barely able to eke out a living in their pitiful little farms, subject to the discouragements of bad weather and of insects and pests. And so for most people, life was very, very, very hard. And you just go in your backyard and try to dig a row in order to plant, and you'll see it's very hard to work the ground. Or if you were a carpenter, I mean, you had very few tools, and it was very, 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 very difficult. You think about what it takes just to go in the backyard and chop down a tree. And we use chainsaws today, but if you're swinging an axe, one swing at a time, bringing down trees, and then chopping it up into fireplace-sized pieces, or, you know, burning stoves, wood burning heaters. This is hard, hard work. So the Bible is a very practical book. It recognizes it takes most of our time just to survive, just to get done what needs to be done, just to live. So what God says is 6 days. You got 6 days for your labor. You got 6 days to get it all done. But then it says that there is 1 day to be set aside. Now, it doesn't say 1 day to work and 6 days set aside and made holy for the worship of God and devoted to the things of God and to sacred things. It doesn't say even three and three. You can understand if it was three and three. Or maybe better, four for the things of God and three for the workaday world. So that God was getting the priority. So 4 days for sacred duties and 3 days for secular or work in the world, which is what we mean by the word secular. You might understand that. No, all it says is 1 day is to be set aside for sacred things. For it's to be hallowed. It's to be made holy. It is devoted to the things of God Otherwise, the other 6 days are there for you to get all those other things done. And then when you get, so you devote yourself to those 6 days, and then you set those things aside, and you then devote yourself in that one day to the things of God. The command requires keeping holy to God such times as he's appointed in his word. What does his word appoint? Expressly, one whole day in seven to be a holy Sabbath to himself. A day devoted to the things of God. Now, let's think about this in terms of what does it take for us to grow into maturity as Christians. To grow strong in the faith. To be more and more like Christ. To see the fruit of the Spirit ripen in our lives. So we've seen how that in our tradition, the Reformed and Presbyterian and Puritan tradition, we talk about the ordinary means. So we have the Word. We need the Word of God in order to grow. We need the sacraments. And we need prayer. These are the ordinary means that God uses in order to convert and to sanctify his people. So we call them the ordinary means. God can do extraordinary things, of course, whenever he chooses to do so. But ordinarily, this is how he works. He might call out to the Apostle Paul on the Damascus Road, but normally he doesn't just call out to us from heaven. He works through preachers and churches to bring the word and the sacraments and the prayer to bear upon us and to bring the blessings of redemption to us. So in that context, we recognize that these are the things that are necessary for us to grow spiritually. What I want to ask is, what is the implication of the fact that he also requires that a day be set aside for the things of God? A day be set aside. Why not a morning set aside? Why not just an hour set aside? Why not just Sunday morning from 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock? Why is that not enough? Why not a morning? Why not from 9:30 to 12 o'clock? So you can have an instructional time, what we call Sunday school, and then you could have a worship time. Why not a couple of hours in the morning and a couple hours in the evening so that you could have morning and evening worship? Why is that not enough? Why is it that he requires that a whole day be set aside for the things of God? The answer has to be, I don't see how you can avoid the answer being that's what it takes. For us to survive spiritually, for us to thrive spiritually, requires that a whole day is set aside. We are running around in the world 6 days out of the week. We've got all of the responsibilities and duties that are incumbent upon us throughout the week. We of course, you know, Jesus taught us to pray in private. We see that frequently in the Psalms. Of course, we're to pray in private and we're to pray in families. That helps to sustain us during the week, but that is more like a snack. A snack during a fast. So we're continuing to supply our souls with nutrition during the week. But it's periodic. We might have our morning prayer and evening prayer even. But it's periodic. It's just a matter of minutes out of the hours during the week. What we need is a feast. And what the Sabbath is, it is the day of spiritual feasting. It's the day in which our complete attention is turned to the things of God, where we give our undivided, undistracted devotion, our undistracted attention to the things of God. And it must be that is what it takes. That is what is necessary for us to survive and thrive spiritually. Thrive, certainly, but even just to survive, this is what it takes. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been instituted. Otherwise, it wouldn't be required. The day is set aside because that's what we need. We need the day. We need the day when we rest from our labors and we devote ourselves to the things of God. And we do so in a way that's undistracted by the ordinary labor, worries, concerns, and tasks and endeavors of the week. Those, we've completed them. We've now set them aside. Now we are devoting ourselves to the things of God. So typically that means morning worship and evening worship. But it also means that the rest of the day is also devoted to the things of God. It's a day for rest, but it's a day for holy rest, as we'll see, as the Catechism will say. Holy rest, a resting upon God, resting upon God's Word, resting upon redemption, resting upon Christ who says, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest." Well, we enter into his rest in a special way on Sunday, on the Lord's Day. On the Christian Sabbath, we enter into and experience that rest in such a way as anticipates our heavenly rest. Psalm 95 speaks of heaven as entering into God's rest, entering into his Sabbath. This is what we do on Sundays. We enter into, in a preliminary kind of way, in a way that foreshadows heavenly rest, we enter into the rest that is ours in Christ. And we devote ourselves then to these means, the word, the sacraments, and the prayer, whereby our souls are sustained, our souls are fed. We feed upon the bread of life. We partake of the living water. Our souls are nourished. And we are blessed in the process. So this is the purpose behind the commandment. 6 days, one day. And one of the benefits of having a Sabbath command that often I think is not appreciated is that if one is eliminating a day of the week for ordinary labor, whether it's on the job or around the house, what that forces one to do is to become more efficient in the use of the 6 days of work. If I know I've got to get it done in 6 days, I'm going to get it done in 6 days. I can remember as a college student and even as a seminary student how that the work would expand to fill the time frame that was given to it. And this is why we end up as students so typically working on term papers and projects past midnight, the day before it's due. The assignment was given on the first day of classes. And here I am, the evening before it's due, and I'm frantically trying to get the thing done. What's happened? Well, the work has expanded to fill the time frame. You're going to get it done. You're going to get it turned in, probably. Most of us did. You got the work done, but you got it done at the last minute. And so it is, if you have 7 days to get your work done, the work is going to fill the 7 days. And you're never going to have rest. And this will not be good for you. It's not good for you physically. It is not good for you spiritually. So that we in fact become more efficient in our use of time when we set aside a Sabbath day. So that we work the 6 days. We get it all done in 6 days. If we only have 6 days, we will get it done. It's similar to the tithing law. 10% of our increase, 10% of what we make, and we should start this from the very beginning, belongs to God. We give it to him through his church. What happens as a result of that? I become more efficient in my use of the other 90% of the money. If I cut right off the top that I don't have that 10%, then I'm more careful about what I do with the rest of my money. So it is with this. If I know that I do not have the Lord's Day or Sunday or the Christian Sabbath as a day to get things done, to finish my task, to do my work, then I'm going to get it done. And I can remember as when I became convinced of this commandment, I remember as a college student or as a seminary student working right up to midnight on Saturday. I would work frantically right up to midnight, and then I would put down my papers and I would not pick them up again until Monday morning. And what I experienced then on Sunday was complete physical, psychological rest, true rest from my labor. And the reason why it was so thorough and as a rest was Because that nagging voice that was always telling me what to do and telling me that I really should be studying, or I really should be getting more work done, or I shouldn't be wasting my time, I had a louder voice, a voice of God counteracting that nagging voice, telling me, no, 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 you mustn't work. You mustn't think about doing work around the house. You mustn't think about extra study. You mustn't think about getting ahead on your tasks. No, what I require of you is a day of rest, a vacation from worldly activity. This is a positive thing that we're being instructed to do, a positive thing, to take our rest, to rest from our labors, to take 6 days to get our work done, and in the single day, to devote ourselves completely to the things of God. Seventh day, to be a holy Sabbath to God Himself, devoted to the things of God.